Looking at the overlooked Tuesday. Jesus gets a series, week 2. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what he wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" at Genesis 16:13. Let me be a Bible nerd for just a second. God has many different names in the Old Testament. One of those names for God is El Roy, a literally pronounced Elroy for all the hillbillies lol. El Roy means the God who sees. The first time we read this name is in Genesis 16, when Hagar, the Egyptian servant of Sarah and Abraham, found herself pregnant, alone, and on the run. Hagar was at the center of biblical history when Sarah offered her to Abraham in order to bear him children. Sarah was barren, and this was her attempt to help God fulfill his covenant to make Abraham the father of many nations. But Sarah's plan didn't go as she intended. When Hagar got pregnant with Abraham's child, rivalry and jealousy grew between the two women. In her pain, Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, likely criticizing her with hurtful and abusive language. Hagar fled from her mistress and started on a journey home to Egypt. But something remarkable happened by a spring on the edge of a wilderness that changed the trajectory of Hagar's life. God found her and spoke to her. "Hagar!" God blessed her, told her the gender of her baby, gave him a name, and spoke prophetically over Ishmael's life. God didn't just see a servant running from abuse, he saw her heart. It isn't just that God sees, but that God saw her. Through Hagar, God showed that he doesn't just see and love the key players, or the ones that everyone else knows and loves. He sees and loves the overlooked, too. God never changes. He's still El Roy right now, in this very moment. He's still capturing the attention of hearts. He's still pursuing the overlooked. He's still seeing the suffering. He's still calling names. Feeling overlooked? God always looks for the overlooked. Last but not least is your two prayers for the day. First, pray, "God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it?" Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 through 15. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, James, son of Zebedee, John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions: "Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on the judgment day. This is Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 25. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, "You must not covet." But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life, and I died. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still, the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am! Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God! The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.